it's Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Joe McGee. Welcome back to A Common Sense Wednesday. This is where we take some time and just go through regular, everyday common sense things that we should have learned before we left home, but maybe we didn't. So we get to learn them now. Anybody that's an adult knows, I don't care how smart you are, how many degrees you have, every day you learn something you didn't know. And you'll hear people say that. I didn't know that. Well, I didn't know that. I was like, where you been? Well, I grew up in a part of the country where we didn't learn that. That wasn't part of what we did. So today we're going to talk about trusting God with our money, our finances, no matter what, especially in times like this. God didn't fall off the throne. God's not wringing his hands. Oh, my goodness, COVID's hit. What are we going to do? Well, God always has a plan. God orders steps, direct paths. God surrounds us with divine favor. God supplies all of our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Start kind of ripping through the scripture. Because the Bible says, think on these things, whatever is lovely, honest, just, praiseworthy, or good report. Think on these things. Don't think on those things. Don't sit around and think stupid. Don't feed on the news. Don't feed on negativity. Don't read negative stuff. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Watch what you feed on, because it'll mess you up. So what do you want to do? Well, I want to feed my faith, because the Bible says in Hebrews, without faith, I cannot please God. 1 Peter 5, without faith, I can't whip the devil. What do you want to do? Well, I want to please God and whip hell. How do you do that? I need some faith. Well, what are you going to do? Well, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Faith comes from God's word, so I need to be reading my Bible on some sort of regular basis. You trying to be religious? No, I'm trying to build up my faith. I'm not trying to get brownie points with God. I'm trying to build up my faith. Why? Because I need money. You know, I learned early. What do you need? Well, I need Jesus. I don't want to go to hell. I need the Holy Spirit. I need somebody to order my steps and direct my path. But then when you get down to the carnal things of life, I need a job. I need money. I need to make good money. I need to pay my bills and fix my kids' crooked teeth and get them through school and pay for the college and buy their car when they need a car and pay for insurance and pay for their wedding, you know, and their honeymoon. And I'm trying to get them out of the house. The Bible says parents lay up for the children, children lay up for the parents. It's sort of a swap deal. So here's something that's really interesting. You know, you can love God and still die broke. I've met people my whole life. Got a big family, had 12 brothers and sisters on my dad's side and my father-in-law's side. But you can love God and still die broke. 2 Kings 4, verse 1, talks about a widow whose husband had recently died. It was said of her husband that he feared and served God. It's said in the Bible, 2 Kings. He feared God, he served God, but he still died broke. He had knowledge of God, but evidently he had no knowledge about money. So there's a difference. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:22, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's and his children's children. So that by this standard, according to that, this man was not a good man. So 2 Kings 4:1 talks about a widow whose husband had recently died. It was said he feared God and he served God, but he died broke. Something was wrong. A good man doesn't die broke. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children and his grandchildren. A good man does not live in poverty. And the Bible is very clear about that. So what you got to do, you got to find out, well, man, I need to change my thinking. The Bible says in 3 John 2, life and death. Life and death. Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. I wish above all things, he says, that you would prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Well, that means that my health and my prosperity are tied directly to my soul, my mind, my will and emotions, what I believe, what I think. My prosperity and my health are tied to what I think. So I don't want to think stupid. I want to think something right. Years ago, I read a great book called Wealth Happens One Day at a Time by Brooke Stevens. Great book, loaded to the hilt. Excellent book. But she said in that book, it was interesting. It said, she talks about our wealth consciousness. Her research, which should come as no surprise, showed that our parents and the influential people in our lives when we were growing up greatly define what we come to believe as adults about our own ability to prosper. In other words, we grew up believing that we were undeserving or unable to have it in the material possessions that would make our life easier or more enjoyable. Then I don't care how hard we work, how quickly we accomplish our financial goals, our attitudes and underlying beliefs about ourselves will eventually destroy them. Our own personal wealth conscious is how we come to think about our money. Our thought patterns and beliefs clearly affect all the choices we make about money. Many of us, you'll continue to tell our parents, money doesn't grow in trees. I've heard my mom and dad say this many times. Well, money doesn't grow in trees, or we can't afford that, or we can't afford this. So those negative messages went into us deep in our childhood. So even though most of us earn more money and are better educated than our parents, their old wrong thinking still runs through our souls. Yet our attitude towards money is the most important factor in improving our financial future. The only way to break a lifetime of wrong financial concepts and habits is to develop better ones. We can only do that by renewing our mind with the Word of God, Romans 12:2. 1 Timothy 5:8, if anyone does not provide for their own, especially those in their own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. According to Scripture, God has put the responsibility to provide for our families on us. Whose responsibility is it for your family? Mine. Whose responsibility? Well, it'll be mine. If God has given us the responsibility, then there must be a way for us to do it. What we need to do is find out how we do it from the Word of God. The Bible is the greatest book on financial security that's ever been written. It's full of principles and precepts on how to act, how to live. It's also full of examples that demonstrate how God gives great rewards to those who are willing to take responsibility. The first Adam did not take responsibility for the things that God gave to him. He had clear instructions, but Adam did not do what was required. He was to keep and cultivate the Garden of Eden, protect his family, but he didn't. He got fired from his job because he was disobedient and rejected his responsibility. Jesus, the second Adam, took all the responsibility his father gave him. He went and sent to redeem the lost through his death on the cross. He accomplished his work and he said, "It is finished," because he accepted his responsibility today. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father with a name that is above every name. There are so many stories throughout the Bible. Now, I love this in the early years when I was teaching on money. Story about Esau and Jacob. In the story of Jacob and Esau, we find Esau did not value what God valued. In the Old Testament, it was the right of the firstborn son in every family to receive a double blessing. If you're the oldest, you got twice as much as any of your brothers and sisters. The reason for this was the oldest son was supposed to be the one to take care of he was the head of the tribe. Esau was the firstborn, so he would have the advantages and privileges that the brothers would never have gotten. As the oldest son, Esau was supposed to get his share like everybody else, and then he got a double share, second part of the inheritance. With that, he was to enable him to provide food, clothing, and shelter for everybody else that was necessary, and also to take care of his mom once his dad died, his unmarried sisters and his orphans and the widows and the unemployed of his tribe. He was responsible for everybody. That's why he got a double portion. God said, "You're the oldest, I'll give you a double portion, but you're responsible for everybody else." But Esau thought, "I don't want to be responsible for anybody else other than myself. I only want my portion. I don't want the second portion. I don't want to take care of my mom. I don't want to take care of my sisters or orphans. I don't care about them anyhow." So Esau sold his birthright to his brother Jacob for a bowl of beans one day. Somebody said, yeah, but Jacob was a liar and a cheat. Yeah, he was. You know, he was. But God said, "Jacob I have loved, Esau I have hated." How could the Lord hate a child who hadn't been born yet? He said that when they were still in their mother's womb. Their answer is that God saw the future. He saw the choices that Esau was going to make. He didn't value what God had provided. He looked at it in Hebrews 12:16. Esau despised his birthright. Genesis 25:34. Esau despised his birthright. Jacob, on the other hand, wanted the blessings. He also wanted the responsibility. He wanted to be able to take care of people other than his own thumb-sucking self. Jacob won the responsibilities of providing for others. You know, you ever meet people like that? Those people do exist. So in effect, God was saying, I don't like people who go through life not wanting to be responsible for other people. I'm just going to say that again. God is saying, I don't like people who go through life not wanting to be responsible for other people. Responsibility is an honor. God loves people who want to be responsible for other people. He'll provide for us. He'll give us more. If you're willing to become responsible, taking responsibility is a great way of increasing income. You want to get richer? Take care of more people. Taking responsibility includes understanding the part we have to play in our economic success. So we have two economies. As believers, we function in two different worlds. We function in God's economy and the world's economy. We have responsibilities in each. This is it. In God's economy, the source of our financial security is God. He owns everything. He provides everything. Jesus does not want us to worry about our money. Luke 12:22. Then Jesus told his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you're going to eat, about your body, what you're going to wear, and quit worrying about, if you, worry doesn't add a single hour to your life. Luke 12:27. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They don't labor, they don't spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. Well, if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, and thrown in the fire, how much more will he clothe me? Jesus said, oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. Set your heart on what you will eat and drink. Don't worry about it. For the pagan world runs after such things. Your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and those things will be given to you as well. Whoa. Psalm 37:25. I was young, now I'm old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their children begging bread. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power working in us. So we realize God's word says he wants us blessed. God's word said he wants us prosperous. He didn't want us going without, being in poverty and lack. So we have two keys to success in God's economy. Number one's obedience. We've got to be obedient to God to have success in his economy. Job 36:11. If they obey and serve him, they will spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. We ought to make a bumper sticker out of that. Job 36:11. If we obey and serve him, we will spend our days in prosperity, our years in pleasure. Well, I like that scripture. Isaiah 1:19. If you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. So what's it talking about? Being obedient to what? God's word and what he says. That's why you need to feed on the word of God day and night. Joshua 1:8. Then we will prosper and have good success. But outside of obedience, we also need faith. We have to have faith. Faith is the currency of God's economy. Without faith, we can't please God. Whatever's not of faith, the Bible says, is sin. Sin's got death attached to it, and it'll kill us spiritually, mentally, physically, and financially. We've got to have faith. Where's faith come from? Well, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, God says, I have no pleasure in him. In God's economy, the keys to success are obedience and faith. Obedience and faith. But in order to have success here on earth, we're going to have to work and do the things, the natural things that God's required. So, the keys to success in the world's economy. Now, I've taught this to my kids their whole life. Guys, there's a way to be successful, but you're going to have to get in the Word of God. You got to do the natural. God does the supernatural. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. And study to be quiet. Do your own business. Work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward those that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. How am I going to have lack of nothing? Work with my own hands, get a job, go to work. 2 Thessalonians 3:6 says this. Now, here's a command, dear brothers, given in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ by his authority. Stay away from any Christian who spends his day in laziness, who's not followed the idea of hard work that we set up for you. Now, who's talking? Paul. We set up the idea of hard work. We set up the idea of hard work. Paul said, we taught you about working hard. For you well know that you ought to follow our example. You never saw us loafing around. We never accepted food for anyone without buying it. We worked hard day and night for the money that we needed to live on, in order that we would not be a burden to any of you. It wasn't that we didn't have the right to ask you to feed us, but we wanted to show you firsthand how you should work for your living. Even while we were with you, we gave you this rule. He who does not work shall not eat. We hear there's some living among you in laziness, refusing to work, wasting your time, gossiping. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we appeal to such people. No, we command them, quiet down, get to work, earn your own living. Well, that's about as strong as you can make it. Quiet down, get to work, earn your own living. Everybody needs to be able to earn a living. I like this. Once we get past hard work, then we need knowledge. Here's the knowledge, Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. What do you need? I need to get in the Word of God. What's God's will right here? Well, He'll show you. Proverbs 8:12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. How do you get creative ideas? The Holy Spirit and the Word of God. You need to be fellowship with God. I like that. Proverbs 24:3-4. Through wisdom is a house built. By understanding is it established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So, pretty good summation. What do you want? Well, I want to be blessed. What are you going to do? I need to know what God's word says and do that. God has a plan for my life. He'll reveal it. Proverbs 29:18. It's been wore out in every seminar I've ever been to, leadership seminar, business seminars. Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. What do you have a vision for? Being successful on this planet. What do you need to do? I need to work. I need to use natural labor. And I need to use my faith. Faith without works dead. Work without faith is dead. The two things that drive the economy on this planet is faith and working hard. You got to have both of them. Proverbs 16:3-9. Commit whatever you do to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. In his heart, a man may make his plans, but the Lord will direct his steps. So, on this planet, where we are, what are we going to do? Well, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to use my faith. Whatever job you get, we're going to do. I'm going to do what they ask me to do. I used to tell people, you know, when I hired people years ago, I hired a lot of young guys, you know, right out of high school. And I learned something. Guys, we don't hire you to show off. We don't hire you because you cut the sleeves off your shirt, or you've not shaved today, or you cut the mufflers off your truck. I hired you when you pull in the parking lot. You can hear you coming a mile away. We don't hire show offs. We hire people to work. If you work, we're going to pay you real good. You do what we're asking you to do, we're going to pay you, give you a Christmas bonus, probably give you a great raise, you know. But if you don't work, we're probably going to have to fire you. He that doesn't work doesn't eat. So, we just have to learn. Trust God with your finances. What's it going to take? That's going to take faith and work. Faith and work. They go together. It's like an Oreo cookie. Faith and work. You need both of them. So, God, thank you guys for listening today. May God give you wisdom. May God take blindness from your mind, lighten the eyes of your understanding. May you realize that everybody's destined to be successful on this planet. It's not based on your IQ, not your GPA, not how many degrees you have, or whether you even got out of elementary school. God said He'd bless whatever you put your hand to. So today, let's get our hand to something. Amen. God bless, guys. Thank you for listening. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.